You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, is a type of depression that's related to changes in the season. It normally starts and ends around the same time every year. And if you are like most people with SAD, symptoms start in the fall, they continue through the winter months, and they sap people of energy and they make people feel moody. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Inger Person. She's a clinical social worker with St. Alphonsus Behavioral Health. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So, Inger, first, just start out with telling me about the signs and the symptoms, because a lot of people might just think, you know, I've kind of got the winter blues, it's gray. Some people legitimately just have that.
That's correct.
Yeah. So when do we get into what people refer to as SAD?
The differentiation is when it starts to interfere in your normal level of functioning. Mm. So people who have the blahs might just want to stay in and stay in their pajamas for a day or so, and then they resume their normal life. But people with SAD, they have all the symptoms of depression, you know, a down mood, loss of energy. Usually with SAD, they oversleep, they might overeat. But what begins to happen, it interferes with their routine. So they stop maybe engaging in social activities, or they stop going to work, or they stop their healthy eating and exercising, and it slowly, severely interferes in their life. And that's how we know that it is a serious depressive disorder.
Is it hard, though, to diagnose because it's seasonal? Mm-hmm. And I ask that because if you start to get these signs and these symptoms, but then especially here, when spring happens, when summer happens, it starts to get sunny. We have incredibly long days of sunlight. Is it just tough to diagnose or for someone to think, I might have this disorder?
You're right. It is. It's very hard to diagnose. It's hard to diagnose because it is major depressive disorder. It's just prompted by the shortening of the days and the dark weather. And the diagnostic criteria says that you have to have 2 years of marked interference in your functioning related to the change in weathers. So it's not, you know, you just don't come in the first time it happens and get diagnosed with this.
And also, I would think that it would affect people maybe in different parts of the country or different parts of the world. Because when we look at, you know, this area, like the Treasure Valley and even up into the mountains, it can be super cold, but really sunny. I mean, we on average have more than 300 days of sun a year here. But I grew up in Southwest Washington where, you know, my junior year in high school, we went 66 days without seeing the sun. And that was 66 days in a row, people. Like, that's a long time.
That is a long time. And it's not just the sunlight.
Okay.
It's the shortening of the days. So, you know, statistically, what I researched is 1% of the people in Southern California or Florida or closer to the equator have SAD, but 9% people have SAD in the northern regions like Alaska, Seattle, Sweden, where I'm from. But even in places like Boise, where there is a lot of sunny days, the days are shorter.
Right.
And so that is what we think creates a lot of the seasonal affective disorder.
I'm speaking with Inger Person. She's a clinical social worker with St. Alphonsus Behavioral Health. We're talking about seasonal affective disorder. Okay, so Inger, if you have these symptoms or if a loved one has these symptoms that you have talked about, because this is a major depressive issue.
It is.
There is treatment for this.
Yes, there is. Absolutely, there's treatment. There's treatment from a healthy lifestyle perspective, just monitoring your and maybe changing some of your normal habits, like continuing to exercise, but maybe go outside, especially in the early morning when you get the full spectrum light. Make sure that you're watching your eating habits because carbohydrates and sugars will affect your blood sugar.
It's good, but it makes you tired.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's true.
Exactly. And it will make you moody and depressed. So you will, you know, kind of be more sensitive to that if you're already depressed. Make sure you continue to engage in your healthy activities, your healthy social activities, and going to work and volunteering and whatever else you do.
And what about the light therapy?
That's certainly a very promising research. I know in Sweden I have lots of relatives who use the light box.
Right.
And that gives you that full spectrum light that I was referring to in the morning that we get. So the light box therapy is a very, lifestyle change mm-hmm. that you can use, and again, use it in the morning.
So for some people, even though this is seasonal, they might have some sad episodes throughout the year, correct? I mean, that's uncommon, but it could happen.
It actually could happen, and there is... It's rare, but people can have reverse seasonal affective disorder where they're fine in the winter time and they have the depressive symptoms in the summer. But that's a little more rare.
So are there things that people can do throughout the year or changes that they can make throughout the year or certain vitamins they can take maybe that would help this when it comes on during the winter time?
It's interesting that you asked that question because there is some research that shows that a lack of vitamin D mm-hmm. is a cause or a precipitating factor in SAD. And of course, that makes sense because we get vitamin D from the sun.
Right.
So, increasing your vitamin D intake or at least having that checked with your doctor can help. But just knowing that you have to be careful with your lifestyle habits when you're moving into the winter season, mm-hmm. I think helps people a lot so that they know that this is going to happen. They can prepare for it.
Do we see this in certain parts of the population? I mean, for example, do we see this in kids or is this, adults?
The research shows that women are four times more likely to have this than males. Mm-hmm. Adolescents are more likely or more predisposed to having seasonal affective disorder or maybe just depression in general. And we really don't know why. We just know that it's true.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me, too, is if you have to go, like you said, 2 years before you could actually officially get diagnosed for this, In your experience, have you seen more people coming in on their own or maybe family members, seeing it maybe more than the person going through it?
I think I see mostly people coming in on their own. I mean, wish family members were a little more sensitive to mm-hmm. this, but I think what happens is because it's so prolonged, I mean, from fall to spring, family members just kind of go, oh, well, that's just my husband.
They're just moody this time of year.
But I think that part of the diagnosis that it says it must interfere with your general level of functioning, that's what people come in with. They may not know that they're depressed. They may not know that it's seasonal affective disorder, but they know that they're having a hard time functioning, and they know that it's interfering in their work performance or creating conflict with their family. So those are usually the items that bring them in.
So what should family members or loved ones be aware of then if they're listening right now saying, this sounds familiar.
Exactly. I think, one, they should be aware. Two, they should talk to their family member. I think we are so afraid to bring these things up. We're so afraid to say, oh, I notice you're depressed. I notice you're not getting out of bed in the morning or having a hard time. I notice that you're struggling going to work. Let's go to your doctor. Let's talk about mm-hmm. this. Let's see if there's something going on. Or else just saying, let me support you. Let me see if I can help you get over this.
And I think part of it, too, must be stigma, because the first time I heard about seasonal affective disorder, I was, I believe, in college. And I remember talking to some people about it, and people were like, come on, really?
Right.
There's still kind of this idea of the seasons can't affect you that much. But research is showing that it really can.
Absolutely. And isn't that what people say about depression in general.
Right.
Oh, come on, get over it. Just pull yourself up. Mm-hmm.
Get yourself together.
Exactly. And I think that is the stigma with depression in general, that we believe that somebody can just willfully get over it. And mm-hmm. you can't. I mean,
because you could if you would.
Of course.
Or you would if you could. Yes.
And nobody deliberately wants to make themselves that miserable. Mm-hmm. Right. So
right.
when it's prolonged, when it continues on week after week, there is a problem.
So best advice for someone who may have some of these symptoms that you've been talking about, especially mm-hmm. during this time of the year, because tomorrow's officially winter as well.
Exactly. And, you know, we're approaching the Christmas season where mm-hmm. there's a lot of expectation for joy and happiness. And so it adds a lot of pressure to someone who is already feeling depressed. Best advice is sort of look at, is it mild, moderate, or severe mm-hmm. symptoms? Because if it's mild to moderate, try those healthy lifestyle changes. But if it's more severe, or you know you've had this for a really long time, it's really important to go talk to your doctor, because if it's a serotonin reuptake inhibitor problem, then medication can help that so much. If it's that you need support and encouragement for maintaining your normal routine, therapy can help that. So get some help.
I was going to say, the good thing is that there are things that have been proven to work for this, and people can get the help that they need.
Absolutely. And I think if there's any one thing I wanted to say today is get help. Reach out. You don't have to be stigmatized by it. You don't have to be fearful of the idea that if you take medication, mm-hmm. that proves that there's something wrong with you.
It doesn't define who you are.
No, it doesn't do that. And it also doesn't, it's not characterological. It does not mean that there's something willfully that you're doing that's wrong with you. It means that you have a brain disorder that requires some help.
I really appreciate you coming in and talking about this today.
Thank you.
My guest, Inger Person, she's a clinical social worker with St. Alphonsus Behavioral Health. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.